Hello, I'm Professor Liu. Welcome to our video. I'm here today with Art Prof teaching artist Jordan McCracken Foster. Today, we are going to ask this question that I get asked all the time, which is art school worth it? Both Jordan and I went to art school, and I teach at RISD right now, so we know a little bit about this art school thing. If you would like to grow as an artist, but you can't afford an art class, we've got everything you need here at Art Prof, critiques and tutorials. All right, this is a question I get a lot because art school, it's a big investment. If you decide to do a BFA undergraduate degree, it's a 4-year commitment. And while there are many, many schools and lots of different options, art school's not cheap. It's a pretty significant financial investment. It's not a small decision for a lot of people. And so, what Jordan and I are going to talk about today is what are some of the qualities of going to art school that maybe you could not get any other way? Because, Jordan, I'll tell you, when I was a kid, online learning was not an option. Like, art school was the only way you could get any instruction. Today, it's a completely different story. Today, there's a lot you can get online, but there are some things that you cannot replicate online. So, one thing that you and I have actually talked about quite a bit, and maybe some of you guys saw this stream that Jordan and I did a little ways back about how to build an artist community, how to find your artist friends. Jordan, how does community become important in an art school setting?
One of the reasons that I appreciate the art school community so much is because everyone sort of has the same vision. Everyone wants to go to school, learn what they have to learn, and just go out and be creative. And during that time when you're having those late nights and you're critiquing each other and trying to help each other out, it builds a camaraderie that I haven't seen in any other major institution. Like, I don't hear chem majors really talking like that, or medical students or biology, whatever you want to put there. There's something very specific and unique about art students where they come together and you can be creative and have a fun time.
And it's very unique at art school because I think a lot of people, when they think about socializing with their friends, you think, oh, you go out to eat or you go see a movie, you do something like that. Okay, that's pretty normal. But at art school, Jordan, I actually found that some of my favorite parts of art school was being in the studio with a couple friends, just working really, really hard and just being there together. That is something I have yet to be able to replicate. Did you have lots of late nights with friends in the studios?
Yes, I did. Many late nights, so many late nights.
I think I was the cause of a few of those late nights, but.
Yes, you were on multiple occasions. But there's still something fun about that. There's something, there's a very strange time of night where you're working really hard, but you're also delirious, and you're also like trying not to curse your teacher under your breath, and just trying to get all this done. And there's I don't know, there's something about that when I look back on it, 5, 6, 7 years later, I look back, I'm like, wow, that was a really great time. And I know I probably won't get that back. And so it's just great, all these memories that I have are just so precious to me, and I really kind of miss that time in a lot of ways.
I think honestly, a lot of it is just the physical proximity. Because I was talking to one of my students from RISD yesterday, and they said the thing that really bums them out is that they can't just like lean over and look at what their friend's doing next to them. It's not an option anymore. Like, if you want to see somebody's work right now, you have to see it on social media, they have to text it to you. It's not so easy anymore to just see a ton of artwork. And I know a lot of us are really struggling with that right now. Just that lack of physical proximity, I think, is really hard for a lot of people to replicate outside of an art school setting. We got a couple comments. Jess says one of the most valuable things is the critiques. Can't get that kind of focused, informed, and helpful advice anywhere else. Puck Puck is saying art school can teach skills needed to succeed in a given concentration, also allows for experimentation with the pressure of making money. Puck Puck, that is a great concept, because I think that people are frequently very stressed out when they get out of art school about making things, that they feel, oh no, I'm making this to get a job, or this is for a commission. And so you almost feel like everything you do after art school is on the line. But like, Jordan, did you do any drawings in my class that maybe you weren't so proud of?
Most of them.
And yet, how did that impact you when you did a project in my class and you're like, oh man, that was sort of a bummer? Was it a learning experience, or was it really hard to deal with?
It's a mixture, because you were my first one of my first teachers in my first semester. And so one of the things that I had to adjust to was just getting critique in general and learning like, oh, it's not that anyone dislikes me. They just need to help me fix my work. And I know a couple other people who have had that issue where they're trying to wrap their minds around that, because, you know, art is very sensitive to us. And we're putting a lot into it.
Well, I think I really learned when I was in art school how to separate myself from my artwork, to say, look, they're not critiquing me as a person. They're critiquing my artwork. And certainly my artwork is a big part of who I am, but it's not everything. And I know that before I went to art school, I took everything so personally. Like, I was like wounded if somebody didn't like something about my work. And honestly, art school gave me so many critiques that at a certain point you realize, wow, I really can't have an emotional breakdown anytime somebody tells me they don't like the eyes in my portrait. And so it's not so much that you're desensitized as much as you start to develop, I think, a certain degree of resilience when you're in art school. Did you have to do that?
Yeah. Oh, I have to go through it all the time. I have to remind myself constantly, because even as a master's student, I find myself defending myself a little bit more. And sometimes that's good. Like, if someone has a genuine question about like why you thought about this and that, there's a difference between just articulating what you thought and trying to say, no, your opinion's wrong, mine is right, and, you know, trying to, you know, deflect any negative feedback that you get. And in a lot of ways, I've had to learn artistic maturity, if you will, just for, you know, getting critique. And I think art school is probably the easiest way to learn that.
Yeah, and somebody else is also saying, Jess is saying, art school is teaching me how to work hard, find myself working harder and pushing myself a lot more than I was before. Okay, so Jordan, compare the amount of work you put into your art in high school versus college. What is the difference?
Oh my goodness. How do I put this? It's sort of like comparing a small rock to a giant boulder, you know what I mean? Or like a pebble to a, you know, to a mountain. And when I was in high school, I did, you know, my drawings here and there, and I drew a lot more than a lot of other high school kids. But when I got to art school, now all I was doing, and no matter what class I took, draw, you have to do this drawing, you have to do this painting, you have to create this piece, do some thumbnails of this. And not only undergrad, but for master's, a master's degree as well, it's just constantly going to the point where I become addicted to it, where I can't go very long without drawing, or start to sort of get all anxious.
You start to go into withdrawal, right?
Yeah, pretty much. That's how it is now.
Let's see. Lisa's saying school's a great time to meet different people. Absolutely. I mean, the people that I went to art school with were such a big part of my life. Even if I don't see them all the time, they're still part of who I am. And I think it really forms you. Speaking of which, let's talk a little bit about developing relationships with your professors in college, because I feel extremely lucky that I had really good relationships, I would say, with three professors, and three of them, I see them all the time now. I go out and have a cup of coffee with them, and we catch up about life. For example, if you guys haven't watched this video, it's called Color and Crayons. It's in the Portrait Tutorials playlist. I get to interview Tony Janello, who was my former RISD professor And I like worship him. Like, I think he is just a total genius. Like, he taught me everything I know about portraiture, about color. I mean, he just like blew my mind. And the fact that I get to still talk to him today about being an artist. I mean, Jordan, he met me when I was like 21. I'm 43 now. And isn't that amazing that we still keep in touch? Like, I cherish that friendship that I have with him because he knows me as an artist in a way that nobody else does, right?
Right. Yeah. It's really awesome because it's, you know, it becomes more than just student teacher. It becomes, and the way I even look at, you know, art teachers, I feel like it's more like an apprenticeship, you know, or like, you know, you're recruiting these people to pass on this knowledge. And I think it's more than just the academics and the grades and stuff like that. And when you can cultivate a relationship to become something so grand, and you can go back and go for 20 years and you look back and you're like, wow, this is, you know, it's all started from just these simple drawings and now look where we are. And it just creates another lifelong friend.
I will note, though, that if you want to have a strong, lasting relationship with a professor, you really have to work to make it happen. That doesn't just happen automatically, because I've taught like over 1,000 students at this point. Let me tell you, I'm not that close with all of them. In fact, most of them I am not. And yet there are some who I'm very close with. I mean, almost everybody who works on ArtProf is a former student of mine. I think Eloise is actually the only teaching artist who I did not have as a student. But I think sometimes students think that, oh, it'll just happen naturally. I don't think so. I think you have to take a little bit of initiative to reach out. Like, Jordan, did you have any teacher you ever reached out to where it wasn't like, oh, I have to, but just, hey, I'm going to go say hello to Clara. In fact, you did that once. I remember when you were a sophomore, I was teaching an illustration and you just dropped by. You're just like, hey, how's it going? Like, what prompted you to do that?
To be honest, I don't even remember doing that. I told my mom that story when you mentioned that to me before, and she was like, I think that's just the way I raised you. And, you know, I always try to build as many positive relationships with people as I can. I don't like burning bridges for any reason. And if I don't talk with someone, it doesn't mean that I don't like them. It's just maybe we got busy and all the love is still there. But I think you just kind of took the answer kind of. I'll say this though, as a master's student, as someone who, you know, doesn't have to worry about undergrad anymore and I'm about to graduate and everything, I make a concerted effort to make sure I build relationship with my teachers. So, you know, if I see them in the hallway, I'll say hi, I'll ask them how they are. If the class is really quiet, because sometimes there's maybe a lot of international students who don't speak English very well and are very shy, then maybe I can say something to just help keep the class going. Because it's awkward when you're the only one up there and you're trying to teach a class of 15 to 20 students and no one's saying anything. And so, you know, I try to joke around, say something, build connection.
Jordan, you're one of those students in my classes who like swoops in to save the day when you have those cringy, awkward moments of silence. And you're like, come on, guys, come on, give me a sentence. And then you come in and you save the day for me. So we appreciate students like that. Anyway, let's take a look at, we got some comments in the chat. Kiri says, oh wait, we've got a question before from Heba. Do you think art school is as important now that the internet exists? That's a great question because it's a really different landscape for learning now. So what do you think, Jordan? Do you think art school is still an important experience, even though we have so many resources available online, a lot of which are free, including us, but also a lot which are very affordable for your average person?
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to the individual ultimately, because everyone learns differently. I think art school is a really great option because, for one, I am a visual learner, and two, I like being around people. During this quarantine, you know, my school had to shut down. I've just been online, doing my classes online for the last couple of weeks, and it gets depressing after a while. And so I like having that interaction with my classmates, and, you know, for lots of other reasons as well. So if it's an option for you to go to art school and there's one that you want to go to and, you know, think that it's going to help you build up your portfolio and your skills, I would say go, because you're not going to get an experience like that anywhere else.
Let's see. Kiri is saying, I'm in level A arts. I'm an A level art student. I'm struggling with how can I evolve my work when I'm terrified of new materials due to lack of experience with them. Well, Kiri, I'll tell you, the only way you're going to get over that is to just try and make a lot of crappy artwork. That's where you got to start. When you begin with a new material and you don't know what the heck you're doing, you're going to feel extremely awkward and frustrated, and it's going to be a really hard experience. That is a given. I don't care who you are, okay? Like, here's an example, all right? Jordan, have you ever been snowboarding before?
Yes, and I hit someone.
So it's sort of like my experience snowboarding. My experience snowboarding, I sat on my butt for, I don't know, a few hours because I had this thing like strapped to my leg and it was so uncomfortable. And I'm not a big outdoorsy sports person. And so I feel like what I hear a lot is people get frustrated with material. And I'm like, dude, you were on it for like a day. Like, of course you're not. What, are you going to go to the Olympics next week? Like, no way. You have to accept that you're going to be really bad at it for a long time. Like, for example, we always reminisce about how crappy the first art prof videos were. I mean, they're so cringy, guys. And it's like, I watch them now and I'm like, oh my God, like, what was I thinking? But you have to start there. Nobody can just start something and be good at it right away. Like, Jordan, what's a recent skill that you've had to pick up?
Digital painting, digital line work. I struggled with that a lot. And I thought for a long time that I just wasn't ever going to pick it up. And when I was forced to do literally hundreds and thousands of drawings on the Cintiq, it started to become second nature. And, you know, and honestly, I think part of the struggle nowadays is because we're so used, and in the 21st century, we're so used to having everything very quickly, you know, upload speed super quick, and you get access to all this information super quick. And I think we've, as a society, become a bit impatient, and we see these big stars, you know, or artists, and you see them on Instagram, they have all this beautiful work, but you don't see everything that goes on behind that post, all the sketches they had to do, all the drawing they had to do that they never post. Most of the drawings I have, I've never posted anywhere. But a lot of people wouldn't know that just by looking at it. So
yeah, it's not like you're gonna post every 5,000 drawings that you draw like every week, Jordan. Okay, I know nobody can do that except for you. But the point is, for every 100 drawings that you're making, Jordan, you might post, I don't know, what, 2 out of 100? I think that's not uncommon for gesture drawings when you're just whipping out hundreds of them all the time. I think that's sort of the way it has to be. Let's see. Puck Puck is saying, I think as for which art school, pick the one that best suits your needs while balancing one that will help you after graduating. Natalie is saying, how do you find good information about an art school? Jordan, how did you go about researching what school you wanted to go to?
Well, one is I went to something called Portfolio Day. There happened to be one near my hometown. I'm from LA, and so there's one not too far away. And so all these schools came by, and that you just show your portfolio, and you know, they give you advice and stuff like that. I also attended the RISD pre-college program. I talked to some other professors at my high school, and you know, I tried to look up as much as I could online. And this is before lots of people were on YouTube talking about the schools that they were going to and showing their portfolios and stuff. And so I just took the best guess I could and just went with where I went to.
Fellow Under is saying, what do you think about students taking gap years? What do art schools think about high school students taking gap years? I think, Fellow Under, that's a really personal decision. I don't think that it's inherently good or bad. I think it really, really depends on your family situation and what you want to get out of it. I know a lot of people that have taken gap years who said to me, wow, after working a regular job, I was so ready to go back to art school and really focus on my study. For some people, sometimes it's not a good idea because you almost feel like you lose momentum in a way, but it's a really, really personal decision. So I don't know that I have a specific opinion about that. It really depends on the person. Anastasia is saying, what is the workload of an art school? Jordan, I think you can answer that. You've got a little experience there.
Man. So typically, I would spend, between 8 to 12 hours per class on assignment. And that's at a good pace, in the earlier times, it would take me much longer just because I wasn't skilled. And that's part of the reason why I think it's important to draw as much as possible and do as much work as you possibly can, because the more you do, the faster you'll get, and you'll be able to get that assignment done faster. So I, like, for example, just before the stream, I was working on a digital painting for environment, and I've been working on it for several days now, honestly, and I'm still not even close to done. So,
And I think
gotta be
art
patient.
school really gets you to produce in a way you probably would not do on your own. Because, man, when you have those professors breathing down your neck, at least for me, when I was in art school, I just would never dream to not do it. I was so compulsive about getting everything done, not because I was worried about the grade, but because I wanted to do it. Like, once I got to RISD, I was like stoked to do homework. Like every time I'd go to class and the teacher would be like, okay, I'm going to tell you what you have this week for homework. I'd be like, yes, what's it going to be? I can't wait. I want to know. So it was great because high school was not like that for me. I did not like high school. It was not fun. I had to take all these classes I didn't like. And so that was a huge difference for me. But the productivity, I think, is also important because it does shift your mindset. For example, a lot of people ask me all the time, well, I'm really struggling with this one piece and this is really bothering me a lot. And I say, well, just do another one. And they say, but I work so hard on that one drawing. How can I leave it? And I'm like, it doesn't matter. You'll make another one. Like, it's fine to just make stuff, have it not work out, and do another one. Because I think if you don't produce a lot of work or have not had that experience before, it's easy to get too precious about everything you
Yeah.
do. Do you feel like you ever did that, Jordan? Get really precious to the point that it almost stifled you as an artist?
Yeah. Throughout my undergrad, especially, I wasn't producing as much artwork as I am now, despite the fact I'm still in art school. And I think that the more that I worked, the more I realized, like, I could do this again. And, like, so for example, I do a lot of figure drawing, and I would love to show you guys now, but
We
I
need a
can't. I
photo of this.
literally
We need
have a
to give them
stack of
proof.
One of these days I will. I'll put it somewhere. But I literally have a stack of paper that's like this thick, like 12, 13 inches thick of just figure drawings. And not all of those drawings are good. And every once in a while I see one that's particularly bad, and I'll just take the piece of paper, I'll gently fold it, and I'll just put it to the side, and I won't have to look at it anymore.
And it's like you're
So,
cool with
yeah.
it because it's easier to move on because you've done so
Yeah.
many that you've gotten over the need to succeed on every single artwork. Because I think that's debilitating, where people say, okay, I have to make 20 pieces and they all have to be good. When people apply to art school, they say, oh, well, I need to make 20 pieces. And I say, no, you don't. You need to make 40 because you're going to make 40 pieces and you're going to pick the best 20 out of those 40. No guarantee that all 20 of them is going to be fantastic. Boo Bear, the Boo Bear. That's a great username. I'm trying to pick art schools currently. What should we look for? Is researching specific professors worth it? I think it is because at a lot of programs, you can start to figure out what type of program it is based on the types of professors that teach there. For example, there's a lot of schools that are sometimes very, very traditional. And so maybe if you look at some of the professors' artwork, it's all very traditional figurative painting. Maybe you go and you look at another school and people are doing performance art and they're doing installations and public art. I think that's important. But actually, the more revealing part, I think, is looking at the student work that's coming out of there. That is really the visual clue as to what type of program that is. Did you do that, Jordan? Do you look at any student work?
I tried at, I really tried, but I couldn't find a whole lot. And that's something that always kind of upset me, because I was like, man, how am I supposed to make an informed decision if I can't see all the student work? And so if you're looking for a particular school to go to, I would say if there's a way to visit the school somehow, and just go around, see the artwork they have on the walls, look at the students' work in the studios or whatever, I think that would really help you. And I would also just be wary of, you know, sometimes what some schools might do is they might show one particular student who really excels, but that, I mean, that's great for that student, but what you want is a group of students who are really doing well. You want to see like that this school is consistent in the way they train, and so you have much more confidence that you'll be able to make it.
One thing that Kat Huang, who's another art prof teaching artist, told me, she said when she was applying to art school, she actually went on Instagram and found people that went to that art school and just sent them an Instagram DM and just said, hey, I like your work, and can you just tell me a little bit about your school? And I guess some people will say, oh, well, that makes me really nervous. I don't want to just contact some person I don't know out of the blue. And she said that people were really nice and that they were super happy to help her and give her advice about the school. And really, guys, the worst case scenario is you get ignored. That's really not that bad. So I think it does not hurt to do that. And with Instagram, I mean, you can search by location. Like, you can tap on Pratt Institute and it will take you to all the posts that people are making at Pratt Institute. So I think that's another great way to see the artwork. Jordan Smith is saying, I'm trying to get my out there on Instagram. Feel like I'm at a standstill with followings and likes. Do you think art school gets your name out there more? Not necessarily. I think that art school gives you the opportunity to meet people, but that doesn't mean anything. Because a lot of people get very stressed out about choosing the art school. They say, oh, if I go to school A, does that mean I'll get a better job than if I go to school B? And I say, it's not up to school B or school A. It's up to you. Because you know something, Jordan? I've met people who have not gone to big name schools, who have really strong careers. I also know people I went to RISD with who aren't doing anything. So I don't think you can assume that the school will determine that much. I don't know, what was it like for you in terms of seeing people taking advantage of opportunities versus people not really doing much?
Well, at the time I was graduating high school and going to school, I didn't know anyone really who had that story behind them. I did, however, know a lot of artists that I looked up to who didn't go to art school at all. Like, one of my favorite artists, his name is LaShawn Thomas, and he worked on some of my favorite animated shows. He never went to art school. But another one of my favorite duo artists, Brian Canetso and Mike DiMartino,
who, by the way, was in my class.
And yeah, so, I mean, it really was kind of a mixed bag. And for me, I was like, okay, I'm definitely going to college. And I don't want to sit in a bunch of gen ed classes and just learn about some random stuff that I don't care about. So for me, it was a no-brainer to go to art school.
Let's see. Ripple of Aqua saying, I remember being told from professors, pretty much all of them burned, ripped up, ruined all their undergrad work for various reasons. Wow, that's a very strong reaction. Do you guys keep your old work? Okay, well, I'll tell you, I don't burn and rip up and ruin my old artwork because I don't know, if I'm mad, I'll punch a pillow or, I don't know, do something else. Anyway, the point is, you will, however, get to a point where after art school and all this time, you're going to accumulate so much work that you can no longer keep it all. I don't know if you've gotten to this point yet, Jordan, but at some point it's going to happen. And honestly, a lot of it I gave away to friends. I had a big yard sale. I just cleaned house. And it feels weird in the beginning because you're like, oh, I can't throw out all the stuff. I picked a couple pieces that for one reason or another I wanted to keep. Everything else I photographed. So at the very least, just have a record of those images, because I use images from when I was much younger as examples to show people. I don't really care about the physical work, though, because it's not really that important to me. So at a certain point, you have to get over that, just because unless you have houses and houses to fill with old artwork, that's not really an option. What do you do with your old artwork, Jordan?
I actually do the same thing. Recently, when I moved out to San Francisco, I had to, you know, figure out what to do with all my old artwork, because I wasn't just going to leave my mom with everything. And my mom's one of those people who loves everything I do. And so I went through my art and I said, okay, this is the stuff I have a sentimental attachment to. Like, there's something there that I really want to keep. All the others, I'm willing to throw away. And I was like, Mom, if you are able to keep it, you keep it. If not, we could throw these away. I do not care. And honestly, I draw so much now that I'm going to have to start making that decision more frequently because I can't house all this stuff. I have boxes of stuff just from me being in grad school for the last 2.5 years. So,
you know. Just be happy, Jordan. You're not a sculptor. That stinks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so happy I'm not a sculptor because, wow, I feel so bad for my sculptor friends. They're like building wooden crates that have to be custom designed for each sculpture. Like, it just makes my head hurt having to think about that. Let's see. Jojo is saying, figured I want to go to art school and start drawing. I've taken 2 art classes and cartooning, and I'm going to take more in the future. Do you think I'll make it? I mean, I can't really answer that question for you, Jojo. I really believe that if you want to really bust your butt and work super hard and take advantage of every opportunity that's given to you, I think that unless you have something else happen that is catastrophic that prevents that from happening, I do believe you can do that. Because I'll tell you guys, you would not believe how far a strong work ethic will take you. I've taught so many students who honestly are brilliant. I've had students who draw better than me. Like, just wait till you have this experience, Jordan. It's very humbling. But I've had students where I'm like, I could not do what you do. But I've also had students who are like that, who are lazy and who don't do anything. And quite frankly, I've had people I've worked with who I think, wow, you're really skilled, but you're sort of a jerk. And I don't want to work with you. And so ultimately, what sometimes gets you hired more is being nice and having a good personality, not being a pain in the butt. Like, Jordan is all those things. Why do you guys think he's on staff? Because he's fabulous and wonderful and nice. Oh, plus he's a great artist. But what I'm trying to say is making it is not just your skill set. It's a whole package. What do you think, Jordan?
I agree. You know, I remember when a couple years ago, I watched this video. It's still on YouTube. It's like a compilation of Will Smith's motivational speeches or motivational talks. And he said something about how hard he works. And he said, if you and I get on the treadmill together, either you're getting off first or I'm going to die. And that's the way he saw it. And he's like, there's no way I'm giving up before you. And he said, that's just his mentality. And he also said, there's no reason to have a plan B because it distracts from plan A. And that I heard this right before I went to school, and I was like, I'm going to make this happen. So for any of those who are asking, will I make it? You know, you're the only one who can really make that decision. Even because there are plenty of people out there who you may look up to, and they may say, nah, kid, you're not gonna go anywhere. But screw them, you know, prove them wrong. That's happened plenty of times before. And so you have to be the one who has the final say in that.
Wen Willoughby is saying, if the two of you could go back in time, talk to yourselves in art school, what advice would you now give your younger selves? Wow. Okay, I would definitely tell myself, who are you trying to impress? Because I used to get so uptight about wanting to succeed and get a good crit and feel that I'd knocked it out of the park all the time. And when I look back on it now, oh man, I missed out on so many things because of that mindset, because I wanted to be perfect. I wanted to always succeed. And if I could just have let that go and just focused on being in the moment and making the work, I would have tried so many more things. Because honestly, the thing I regret the most is I was very afraid when I was in art school. I was afraid to make work that wasn't successful. But in doing so, I paralyzed myself and I ended up making work that was pretty good. Like, technically it was fine, but I did not take risks the way I should have. Jordan, advice to your younger self.
Oh man. You know, take risks is definitely a big one. But also just being patient with yourself. I mentioned before that in today's day and age, it's very easy to be impatient just because of how quickly we receive things now. I mean, you can get groceries delivered to your door. You have to go anywhere if you want. And art is one of those skills that you have to spend the time to earn. You have to earn that. And it becomes very frustrating sometimes. And that's kind of why I like being around so many people, is because we're all in the same boat and we can encourage each other. That's another reason why I appreciate art school. So I would just say, be patient, And as long as you have the work ethic, as long as you're, doing the right things to succeed, at some point you will.
Bronwyn Hayes is saying, do you know any schools in Europe that'd be great for illustration or animation? Well, you know something? I should ask Kat Huang that because she actually spent a year in Europe. And I believe there is one school in France that is very famous for animation. It's called Gobelin. I don't know exactly how to spell it. It's like Gobelin. I can't remember, but look it up. It's very famous. They're sort of one of the most prestigious institutions in Europe. But if you later, Bronwyn, you want to make a comment on this video, that'll remind me to ask Kat, and I will see what she says about that. Boo Bear the Pooh Bear, any opinions on dual degrees, RISD Brown, Tufts SMFA? Okay, I think I sort of have a somewhat fundamental issue with those programs because, and this is totally my opinion, okay? I'm not saying this is the case for everybody. Every single student is a unique situation. But in some ways, I'm not sure I like it because I feel like it's trying to tell people that they can have their cake and eat it too. I'm a realist. I don't believe in that. It's sort of like telling people you can be a neuroscientist and a painter at the same time and function at high professional levels. You cannot, okay? The neuroscientists I know, I don't know any actually. Some fancy medical person that I know, they don't do that part-time. And if you really want to be an artist, it's not really something you do once a week for an hour. It's a big investment. And I'm totally into interdisciplinary things and learning all different subjects like that. I'm a huge fan of. But sometimes I think when people hear dual degree, what they end up hearing is, oh, brain surgeon, and I'm going to show at a New York City Chelsea gallery at the same time. That's the impression I get from talking to students. Again, not the case with everybody, but that is sort of the marketing that I have been seeing for those programs, which I think is somewhat of a disservice to the students because then they're disappointed when they're not a world famous neuroscientist and showing at the Metropolitan. That frustrates me a little bit. Did they have dual degree programs when you were in college, Jordan? Because they're sort of new.
Yeah, they had the RISD Brown dual degree program. I only knew one or two students who was a part, who were a part of it. But honestly, most of the students I knew were who wanted to go for that but didn't get it for whatever reason. They're just like, I'm just taking a couple classes at Brown, and I'll be good. So, you can always take classes even if you don't get the official dual degree, but it's just some words on some paper. It's
You
really
can, and
it.
I also think dual degree programs, just logistically speaking, they're a lot harder to deal with. And I know some students feel very split, that usually there's one school they identify with more strongly. Like there was some student I talked to, they said, I really feel that my social group is at Brown, and I don't feel very connected at RISD, but then they're at RISD, and then how do you reconcile? So I think it's a hard program. I know it's very desirable to get into. But I do think that it has its own challenges. It's not like, oh, you get in and you're home free. It's not like that at all. I think there's a lot of different things. Let's see. Someone's asking, does art school homework, I think it's Kazumi, include textbooks and or drawing and painting? Do your classes have textbooks, Jordan?
There were some, yeah. I honestly did not get the more expensive ones. I found alternatives for them because I'm like, I'm not spending no $200 on this. Some for some, so I found PDFs. I did whatever I could to kind of make it cheaper for myself. But yeah.
Let's see, is going to art school worth it considering the amount of debt? Because I've been looking at schools' tuitions, extremely expensive. Is it possible to learn art on your own? What do you think, Jordan? Because art school not cheap nowadays, really, really expensive in the US.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, it depends on every individual situation. Some people are able to get scholarships, some people are able to get, grants, some people have to pay out of pocket for everything, and it really just depends. Because that's starting to go into that. That's me starting to go into your financial life, and I'm not about to do that or make any I don't want to make it a suggestion that will hurt your finances, but. If you can afford it, I would say go. I think it'd be a great time, especially if you pick the school that's right for you. But if you can't afford it, I mean, there are plenty of options online. Our prof is one of them, and you know, and there's also a lot of artists who succeed who are self-taught. I don't know how they do it. I don't think the way that they do. But the other thing to consider is art school is also very important if you ever want to teach someday. So like if you ever want to teach at a university level, then, you know, maybe even getting a master's
degree. Actually, you have to get a master's degree.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you have to. So if that's something that you consider doing one day, then you might want to weigh the options.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, here's the thing. It really depends on the person, because actually somebody emailed me a couple of weeks ago and they said, oh, I did all this military service and I'm 50 something years old right now. And I'm very passionate about painting and I want to go to art school, but I don't really know, is this the right time for me? And they explained that they had already a very focused vision for their painting practice and the imagery was very, very specific. And so they said, well, do I really want to go back to art school to do this? Because I'm really serious about this, but it's so much money. I don't know. And you know what? I said to that person, don't go. It's not a good idea for you, because I don't know. I mean, I'm 43. I cannot imagine going to art school and hanging out with a bunch of 18-year-olds. Like, I'm sorry, you guys. I'm sure you're all cool. But it's like when you get to a certain age, it's just like such a disconnect when it comes to like education and learning. And then the other thing is I said to this person, look, you already sort of know what type of artwork you want to do. A lot of people who go to art school really don't know. And that's fine. That's exactly what you should be. You're going to art school to find out what you might want to do. But this person, I could tell from the way they were writing to me that they knew what they wanted. And I was like, don't go. There's no point in you going. You can get critiques online. You can get the technical support online. You don't need to do that. I feel like what art school does, it's sort of like a big buffet, like tons and tons of stuff. And you just go and you just pick a couple things and you say, ew, that's gross. I never want to eat that again. Or like, oh, wow, that was really good. I think I want to eat that again and again and again. So it's sort of like that. And this guy already knows what he likes. He knows that shrimp cocktail makes him want to puke. He knows that Sour Patch Kids are awesome. So you don't need to learn that. You need to pay all that money to figure that out. So it's a very personal decision. Guys, there's so many questions here. I think we probably need to do this stream again because, wow, I didn't even get to like half of them. But what I would say, you guys, is if you have questions, you can put them as a comment below and I'll get a chance to take a look at those later. But if you guys want another stream on this, we'd be happy to do that again, because it just sounds like there's so much to talk about here that I feel like we barely scratched the surface. Another option though, join us on Discord, because I'm in there way too much. So go down to the video description below. There is an invite link. Discord is free in case you didn't know about that, but it's a really nice group of people, guys. I know on the internet, people are not really known for being that nice to each other, but it's a really friendly group of people. Everybody's been very encouraging and really supportive. We have channels in Discord where you can post artwork and get critiques and get lots of advice if you want to just commiserate with other people. There are people of all ages on the Discord. There's like high school students and graduate students and educators. It's great. You're going to meet a lot of cool people there. Anyway, I hope you will explore artprof.org. Lots of free goodies on that site waiting for you. Subscribe to our channel and ring the bell to make sure you don't miss out on anything so you can join the Art Prof family. And thank you so much to our top Patreon supporters. You guys keep the lights on, and you guys in the chat make this so fun. I love chatting with you guys. Some of you guys have some pretty hilarious comments, and somebody wrote in capital letters, Jordan, big fan here. So guys, we are feeling the love. Thank you so much, everybody. Please stay safe. We will see you next time.